But you know what?
Is it hot in your garage today?
Yeah, it's about 98 degrees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, unexpected.
Jesus.
Moving on, the printer's devil.
You're traveling to another dimension, a dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Dark Territory.
Bordering in Wonderland, the Twilight Zone review.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to the Twilight Zone. We have you. The podcast begins now.
The light.
Take away a man's dream, fill him with whiskey and despair. Send him to a lonely bridge. Let him stand there all by himself, looking down at the black water. And try to imagine the thoughts that are in his mind. You can't, I can't. But there's someone who can. And that someone is seated next to Douglas Winter right now. The car is headed back toward town. But its real destination is the Twilight Zone.
Hello, citizens. Welcome to LAW Twilight Zone Interview. You're the beholder. 477 TZ59 409 Printers Devil Phoenix West. Hi, Dick.
Burgess Meredith.
One of our rare season four episodes, and we're doing two back to back here.
I know. I was kind of shocked when I saw that.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite season four episodes, though.
I did enjoy both episodes thoroughly.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy these because you were telling me like how most of the season is garbage. They're actually not so bad. I mean, I would say most of the ones I've seen have been good.
There's a reason for that.
Because it's the handful that we picked out of that.
Yeah.
That season.
The reason is I'm choosing these.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And, I mean, I Dream of Jeannie was god fucking awful, though.
That one's one of the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, of late, I think of Cliffordville is also really good. I like that one a lot.
That is very good.
And the first two we did, the In His Image, Valley of the Shadow, and on Thursday, We Leave for Home, all pretty good.
Yes, that one's really good.
Thursday, We Leave for Home is a fantastic episode.
That one's masterpiece level. Yeah. And I think that one's touted as such.
This one isn't highly regarded, but I do thoroughly enjoy this because it's got Burgess Meredith. It's got the devil.
Yes.
It's got a morally... how do I describe this? It's got a question of would you do this sort of thing, the moral dilemma of the main character, because he doesn't want his shit to go under. He's running a magazine, he doesn't want it to go under, or a newspaper rather. So I understand why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah, but this one has a cheat. He kind of cheats in this to get away with it.
Oh, plenty, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not really he comes to terms with his morality. It's, I gotta fuck the devil and screw him over at his own game, or else he's gonna kill my future wife, who I think that thick waitress was way hotter. And even Burgess Meredith said that. I like him thick. I like him bigger.
I can play that if you want.
Yeah, put that on there.
This episode of Filthy Twilight Zone.
That woman is not that thick.
No.
It just shows you like what a horrible eye men in Hollywood have for women if they're not 80 pounds or over.
Oh, yeah. No, she looks just fine.
Yeah, she's
going to be in this clip here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you hear Burgess insult her and say she's full of cum.
You fat bitch.
Stop eating me. I hate to tell you, but I'm afraid this time you pulled a boner.
Need some.
No thanks.
I mean, I know it ain't your fault, but it's 8 weeks since I've been.
I understand.
I really hate to do it, Mr. Winter, but the man's got.
Come right here.
It was finished the minute the Gazette moved into town. How are you going to fuck a syndicate like that? I ask you, how are you going to lick that?
You're not.
Right, so I say.
That's gratitude for you. After all the times you stayed up until midnight f***ing his
Jackie.
Might I trouble you for
Yeah.
It's a lovely night, isn't it? Lovely spot, too. Smell the f***s. Perhaps you wouldn't mind giving me a Young man, I hope you're not planning to alone.
Read between them.
I was. Unless, of course, you'd like to join me.
I'd be delighted.
Run, girl, run. That's a one, isn't it? Full of too, are we?
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't? It's a pity.
Thank you, sir.
She fast for a big one.
I think that the time has come.
I love how you just came, dude. It's so brilliant. You're just having a good time.
Why do you particularly want mine?
Well, for the sake of argument, let's say I'm something of a connoisseur. And you have a very choice. And as the vintners say, it's a good year.
Have you seen this?
Wow, that took a lot of work.
Doug, what is going on?
It took me a minute to see that. Like, oh, shit, that's a post-edit right there.
There you go.
You should have went way more X-rated, though.
No, I just wanted to do that because it helped me in my story.
The devil wants to butt-fuck the local newspaper
editor.
Oh. You work 8 hours? This is the thanks you give him?
So that always bothered me because he's an old man who's probably needs medication, needs, like, if he goes 2 days without food, he's done. And they're like, he's like, it's been weeks since I've been paid. And they're thinks we get.
This is the Twilight Zone. Maybe he's only 38 years old.
That's true. Yeah, 38 is a death sentence. He's on death row at that age. He's been smoking unfiltered cigarettes for 20 years at that point.
I have my scotch when I get home with my bourbon and my 5 packs of cigarettes and my 5 pounds of meatloaf, and I don't know why I'm dying.
I married my wife at 18, so we've been married for about 12 years now. And
we have 4 children.
These wary old bones need some food.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Like, the wife is the biggest villain in this.
She really is.
She's like, that's the thinks you, he wants food and money. He wants money for the job he did. What a piece of shit.
What do you think it is, a business?
Yeah.
You asshole.
Does he think he has employees' rights? Ugh.
Well, he's going to be in trouble when he tries to go to the doctor. We have his medical insurance in 6 years.
Oh, man.
I'm just trying to get my cancer under on track. Oh, no.
They're not going to treat him because they'll be like, you're uninsured and you don't get a paycheck, so it'll take you longer to pay this bill off than it will for you to live.
And, sir, you're 38 years old. On paper, you look all right. In person, you look like shit.
I'm 38 years old.
I'm 38 years young, you whippersnapper bastard. I'll fight you in the parking lot.
I'm 38. Come on.
Oh.
I got my poker hat on and my smock, double smocking it. Look at it. He's got 2 smocks.
He does. And he's got his fucking Las Vegas 21 dealer hat on.
Yeah. But look at this greedy son of a bitch right here. He wants money so he can feed himself and take care of his family because he worked for 80 hours a week. What a piece of shit.
Pay his bills.
Ugh.
Unbelievable.
Makes me sick.
The gall of people.
Oh, you want to keep living, old man? You want to see your 40th birthday, you piece of shit?
Forgiving me for allowing you to do that hard job, which a 60-year-old shouldn't be doing.
Oh, you found a job in a very similar field that it will actually pay you? You piece of shit.
And they have modern technology that allow your fingers not to be cracked open with giant metal cubes of letters.
Why don't you slit your throat on the way out? How about that?
Why don't you throw yourself in the mangler, you asshole?
Yeah. I was thinking of the mangler with this guy, though.
Yeah, a little bit.
But Burgess Meredith shows up. He's the devil. And he has this
fantastic, by the way. This is like. Yeah,
this is my favorite.
Burgess Meredith is on fire in this episode.
Second hottest devil of the Twilight Zone and tonight.
Yes, exactly.
The next devil's hotter.
Amber Newman.
Julie Newmar?
Julie Newmar, I'm sorry.
Who's Amber Newman? Is that a girl you went to school with?
I don't know who Amber Newman is. I don't know.
I want to look her up.
Look her up. It might be a porno star. I don't know.
No, it's probably someone you dated in high school.
No, I never dated in high school.
Amber Newman.
No one dated me in high school.
Yeah, same.
I didn't date.
Now we do podcasts.
We're so happy.
I never.
Hell, you have more kids than a fucking school. So I would say you came out all right. I had to say, I was hanging out with my nephews yesterday. Oh my God, my fucking 5-year-old nephew loves being Monkey Boy. Jesus.
What's Monkey Boy?
Monkey Boy, he goes, I'll be Monkey Boy. And he jumps on, and he has me hold him. I'm holding him, and he's like, he jumps off of my knees. So he's jumping. And so I'm throwing him up, but he's using his own force of his legs, jumping off my knees. And then he tries to put his feet on my chest to flip. And he tries to do that. I'm like, we can't do that, because if you flip, you're going to fall on my hands. Monkey Boy. And it's just like, oh my God.
So your nephew.
Stop that. Like, I can do it if there's like a soft service. Well, I can flip him over like on a bed. I can flip him over and like throw him on the bed. Like, you know, because he weighs nothing. He weighs like 10 pounds of, it's like a 10 pound potato bag.
Long story short, he will be missed.
He is no longer with us.
He flipped wrong, paper shredder.
Right in there. Santa Claus float came right over.
What, the parade you had sounds like the most irritating fucking thing ever.
It was a lot. Well, here's the problem. It's a nighttime parade, and the streets aren't really lit up. So anybody that had, like, a flag on their car was, like, a string of Christmas lights. I can't read that.
Yeah, it just looked like police and the KKK going through.
Pretty much that's what it was at first. They had maybe 10 floats with, like, actual Christmas stuff, but it was mostly, like, guys on horses or, like, a dance troupe. It was really quite a very, it was very, very, very underwhelming.
Well, it's a small-town parade. What do you expect?
It was. Like, and it was only, like, an hour long. And oh, it was, I mean, it was fun. Well, the kids liked it. They had fun with it. But, and it was loud. They had, my other nephew, he was putting his head on it. He goes, it's too loud. I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong.
Because at least the videos you showed me was just solid.
Yeah, so that's trucks. The ones I say. Yeah, it was just that was it, and I was like, "Good thing there wasn't a fire or a massive
in fire country
heist right now."
Yeah,
because all of the police and fire and ambulance are out here.
When is California ever on fire, Dick? Come on.
Of course, yeah. Go figure that one out. Sucks. Take that, Newsom.
Oh,
dickhead. But Burgess.
No, he is. He is a fantastic devil. He's got a cigar.
That crooked cigar.
Yeah, and he's
so great.
I love the way he talks. I love everything about his performance. He makes the episode, and he makes the hour seem real short.
Yes, he does. I didn't realize this was an hour episode. Yeah. I was just like, right. Oh, shit. Really? That's an hour long? That would be pretty good.
And I'm fine with this one being longer, because this one actually, this story actually needed it. And I'm
well, because you're building up on the whole, like, failing newspaper. This guy comes and saves the day. You don't know how to take it because he's always successful and he's always right. And then you have to, you know, kind of take time with the whole, you know, editor saying, like, well, I don't want to fire him. I mean, so what if he's always right and there's people getting hurt and, like, the other competing newspaper building burns to the ground?
Yeah.
And, like, I wonder who did that. I don't know. It was an electrical fire.
Who can say?
You can say. Now, see, if the wife did it, or the female antagonist or protagonist in this episode, because they weren't married yet. Yeah. He hadn't married her. Because she kept saying, when are you going to make me your wife? Fuck, when you put out?
He's how about, like, that? And he goes, bitch, why would I?
Why would I? I ain't going to get that fatty at the bar.
Yeah, she's a thick one.
She's a thick one. I like them big. Oh,
yeah, it's bitch.
She's a size 2.
Doesn't it feel like none of that was in the script?
More likely, no.
And that was just Burgess Meredith going, you know, it'd be funny if I'm just a horrible asshole right now. But also, yeah. I'm going to compliment her.
Yes, exactly.
But I like the fact that he calls her thick, but that woman's the most attractive lady we've seen in a long time in the Twilight Zone.
Yes.
the rest of them are so motherly and scrawny. It's just like, no, I'm good.
And they don't die of a horrible, horrible reality when it comes to, like, what happens to them in real life down the road. Because, like, the number of Twilight Zone actresses either kill themselves or die in horrible car crashes or something bad happens to them. They just disappear off the planet.
I'm thinking her name was Molly.
The main girl?
The
big one?
Because all the rest of the people are there, and there's only 12 people in it. So
you're right.
And the rest of them are not her.
No.
So if it's Molly, she also played Vera's cocktail waitress in the movie Undercover from 87.
87?
She played girlfriend in the new Loretta Young show in 63.
Oh, my God.
She's only in a few things.
Wow.
The life and legend of Wyatt Earp from 56. She played Ginger.
Shit.
Her name in this sounds like a metaphor for, or like a euphemism for your period. She played, in Death Valley Days, she played Flo Aston and Madge Ooh. Daly.
Wow.
Sales clerk. Yeah, she apparently that's what she does. I wonder if she, in all of those she got berated for being too thick. And she's like, fuck this.
Hey, fatty, why don't you go get a bag of peanuts, you elephant? Get out of there. That's so sad. Or she just married a producer or a plastic surgeon.
That's what we always like to believe, but who knows?
That's pretty much what happens. No trivia about her demise?
I didn't look into that, but I'll pull it up right now.
Didn't say melanoma or breast cancer. Or
stabbed in a parking lot with her boyfriend.
Stabbed in a parking lot with a screwdriver.
It's always stabbed in a parking lot because her boyfriend owed money to a loan shark.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
Macheted by Haitian gang.
Robert Sterling, the main character, he lived till he was 88, died in 2006.
Dang. There you go.
Pat Crowley, his not wife, is still alive, born in 33. Kind of looks like Jessica Walters mixed with Jessica Lange.
A little bit, yeah.
Look at this. No, now. Look at this. Jessica Walters now. And Jessica Lange combined.
Oh, damn. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That can't be now. That's got to be like 1985.
No, she's still alive.
But she
it like says that. 97. That was 97.
Oh, she looked damn good in 97. I wouldn't put that. I wouldn't put that with the howling man for eating crackers in bed.
Yeah, she stole.
She wouldn't be locked up in the closet. No way.
She's the daughter of Helen and Vincent Crowley, a mine foreman. Thank you for that IMDb trivia.
Not Mr. Crowley, the satanic guy.
She hasn't been anything since 2012.
Oh, okay.
She was in the TV movie 61. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, 61's a good one.
That's a good one.
Bill Crystal.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Billy Crystal directing and writing the Roger Maris.
She was in a Friends episode.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Ray Teal, the old guy. He's an Ace in the Hole. He plays Sheriff Gus.
Oh, yeah.
Judgment at Nuremberg. He plays Judge Curtis Ives.
Shit, he's in some big hitters
the
there.
Best Years of Our Lives. That was a Best Picture winner, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude's
in
a lot.
The words of Wes Anderson or Owen Wilson. Wow.
Oh, wow. Charles Thompson, the piece of shit in this episode. He was born in 1891.
Who?
So he was in his 70s here.
Wow.
He died at 88 in 1979.
Holy shit.
What
happened?
He died at 88. What do you mean what happened?
That was a joke.
Okay.
What happened?
Okay. No, I got a text from my wife asking what food I want. So I heard you, but I didn't get the tone of what you said. All right, now I'm laughing about it.
He died of AIDS.
He died of undisclosed.
Oh, wow, the AIDS. He had AIDS. He's probably an 88-year-old guy stooping the boys in the leather. Hell, Ben Falera. What are we thinking? Pizza?
No, just Taco Bell.
Oh, there you go. Get a gordita.
Now I want to get my normal.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Three.
You got double-decker tacos, you know, they're back. Double-decker tacos are fucking good. Now, did you guys have a Shake Shack in Phoenix?
No.
No, it wasn't. What was it called? What was the burger place that we went to called?
I went to a few. I don't know.
The one, it had an S, though. Wasn't it called, like...
There's Rocket Burger.
Smash Burger.
And we went to Smash Burger, and you doubled that employee.
With this idiot employees that I hated, yes. God. Bunch of dipshits working there. God damn. I mean, I don't mean to ruin people's, you know... Yeah, actually, I do.
Yeah. No, that was bad.
They're terrible.
Sorry, I had to get my meal order in.
What'd you get? What's the? Did you get one of them?
It's got regular tacos. That's all I wanted.
The snack pack box. We get like five items and a soda.
No, I just
like
got the $5. I just feel like regular tacos. I don't feel
those
like
are much. Good. Those are good standbys. Soft or shell?
shell.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Soft ones are fine, but they get a little mushy if you don't eat them right away.
See, what you got to do is you got to do like 2 double-decker tacos, 2 hard shell, maybe a Crunchwrap Supreme, chicken gordita.
Gordita.
And then...
Are you doing all a la carte when you go to Taco Bell?
That's true. It adds up.
Okay.
Well, and then you get the Dorito shell.
The Dorito taco. Loco.
That one's not bad. I do enjoy
it. They got rid of the ranch one, which is the one I liked. I don't like the regular nacho.
You like the red one? I think the red one was better. I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, I couldn't get behind the Cool Ranch.
I like Cool Ranch Doritos more, though. So.
Really? Interesting.
Doris Kemper lived till 1974. She died at age 75.
Who was that? The thick girl?
Doris Kemper was the landlady.
Oh, my God. She's in it for like a second.
Yeah. There's only 12 people in this episode. Very small
cast.
Yeah,
right, but Jesus Christ, like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bartender.
Does the boy selling newspapers get a credit? No.
Yes, paper hawker, Ryan Hayes.
Oh, my God, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was being facetious. Dude's cocks.
Oh, this guy's in a bunch of shit. Leon Alton, the bartender guy, he died in 95.
Wow.
They all died at 88. He's the third guy in this cast to die at 88.
Hey, well, there you go. There's the secret.
Yeah, the printer's devil makes you live to your 88. I think most people, if you said, I guarantee you will die at 88, would take it.
Probably average, sure.
Because I'm not going to live to 88 on my own. So, yeah, I might as well just take it.
Hey, you never know.
No, I do.
What if you live to be 98?
I know because I can change it.
I'm gonna punch that ticket.
All you gotta do is buy a bullet.
I gotta punch my own ticket, thank you.
I'm at 87 and I'm about to turn 88, then I'm like, hey Dick, fuck you.
Hey! I don't know who you are, I have Alzheimer's.
You're mine now, Parker. I'm gonna do one of those videos.
I remember you. This one's for you.
Parker Bonds, this one's for you.
Life or death. Whoa!
Remember when he plays?
That's true. Yeah, he does do that. Yeah,
he does.
Scream for me. Tables. Scream!
God, I love that movie.
Virtuosity is a fun movie.
Virtuosity is one of the best movies ever, and it's
go
awful.
Watch it on Hollywood is Dead. We talked about it years ago.
Yeah, speaking of Hollywood is Dead, let's get to that in a minute. I really love this episode. It has the 8.0 and...
That's granted.
But this is what I say. The Howling Man is 8.2, and I think this should be higher than that.
I would agree with you.
But I give this one a 9.
Wow, you're going to go 9 on it?
Yeah, I enjoy the hell out of this episode.
Very good, very good.
Sounds like you're going to give it an 8.
I was.
Yeah.
But it's a high 8. It's almost. It could be an 8.5. An 8.7. 8.7? Sure, why not?
So 9. Got it. Okay.
Give it a good notch. Yeah.
Thanks for extending that, Frank.
Couple of centimeters below 9, you know. Pretty good, pretty good. It's a solid episode.
This is what Dick feels like when he has to choose a number. Eight five.
I turn into an African-American woman who gets asphyxiated.
You're smoking hot, though.
Guitar strap.
I'm still going to stand by that, man. That girl's hot.
She is hot. Oh, no, she's absolutely hot, yeah. Absolutely.
But she's not... She's, like, such a minor character, and I'm like, she should have been...
She should have been the star of that episode. Not what's his name? Lucas Hans.
Lucas Haas? Remember the Pussy Posse?
The poor man's proto Norman Reedus.
Yeah. Him and Tobey Maguire getting laid because of DiCaprio's career back in the day.
Pretty much the Pussy Posse.
And Sarah, what's her name from Roseanne?
Oh, Sarah Gilbert?
Sarah Gilbert. She was part of
it. She was part of the Pussy Posse?
She was part of the Pussy Posse.
Wow. Yep. So she's a lesbian. She was getting pussy.
Yeah. That's.
She was getting dick.
That's the fun. Like, what a weird group of people.
Oh, come on, Sarah, let's watch. Okay. That's probably what happened, I'm assuming.
But, like, very wildly different careers, all of them.
Pretty much. The most successful one was LD, just because he had that stupid Titanic movie. If he didn't have that movie, he would not have the career that he had. There's no way.
He wouldn't, but also he was doing fine without it because Romeo and Juliet was a big hit.
No Titanic, no way.
No, I'm not saying it would be as big. I'm just saying he would have been fine. I honestly think he might have been in better mood. Like, he might have acted harder. Because he's so good at Basketball Diaries just before.
Right, like, yeah. Yeah, but Mark Wahlberg was in Basketball Diaries, and he wasn't terrible.
No, he's great.
I
feel like DiCaprio really was himself and encapsulated who he is as a person and what's eating Gilbert Grape. And I think if he kept doing that kind of performance, he would have made it, no matter what.
Mama! Yeah.
Squirrels, mama!
What's eating Gilbert Grape? His mother!
Yeah, because she's eating everything else.
Because she's dead.
I remember I watched that movie when it came out, like on cable, you know, probably like 94 then.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my sister were watching it, and I was laughing so fucking hard as a 10-year-old when they, you know what? And it just cuts to the house on fire. I was like, oh my God, they burned the fucking house down instead of moving her.
Jesus.
I was laughing so hard. Just like, she's so fat, fuck it.
Yeah, barbecue her ass. You smell it for miles.
Man, yeah, we like 6 miles away, like, oh, I went to Gilbert's are cooking.
You guys cooking a pig over there? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except we're not going to be able to eat it.
Yeah, unless you want to chew through some massive, you know, arteries. Well, I wouldn't recommend eating it.
It's called manslaughter.
I don't know. I don't think that.
She's already dead.
She was so big that it wasn't even a person anymore, I think.
This is true.
It's like eating a beanbag.
This is the 88-year-old question. Like, what happened when you weigh 800 pounds and you die in your sleep? You're like, well, what happened? Oh, that makes sense.
For me, it's 70, 77. 75? I don't know. This is where we debate the number.
I don't know. Say in this day and age, because shit, if the Twilight Zone people were living to be 88, 75, 77, that's a stretch.
No, but if I hear, like, if you told me, oh, my uncle just died at 77, I'm not going to be like, oh, what happened? I'm going to assume it's cancer or, you know, something, you know, medical. If you told me he's 63, I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Like, what happened? Right, like, Joe Paxton sort of thing. Like, something happened.
Right, yeah. Sue the doctors.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There's a number. And I'm going to say 73, I think. I think 73 is my number.
Man, that's still pretty young to me. I don't know.
But I'm not like, what the fuck happened to your 73-year-old uncle?
It's like, you know what I mean? The problem with me was all my relatives on my dad's side, they're all old. They all live old. So maybe that's just a genetic thing.
My dad turned 70 this year, and if he dies, I'm not going to wonder why.
I thought he was already dead in your heart.
Essentially. But when I do get that phone call, I'll be like, why are you fucking calling me?
Who? Who's this?
And then he died. I'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not going to be like, what? Was he attacked? Like, yeah, his heart attacked him.
Did the voodoo get him?
So maybe 70 is the cutoff, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, in this day and age, sure. But anyways, Printer's Devil.
Printer's Devil. Go watch it. Fantastic fucking episode.
If you live to be 88 years old, thanks the Printer's Devil.
Yes. Apparently that's where the curse is lifted.
That's the secret.
Oh, God. Rod Serling didn't make it. That's what a shit. He got the shit out of the stick here.
He did.
Because Burgess Meredith... 89. Ooh, just barely made it.
Burgess Meredith, though, was not a smoker. He stopped smoking when then he did the Penguin. He had to smoke again because he always had a cigarette in the holder. But then after that show was done, he stopped smoking. He never smoked again. So good for Burgess Meredith, who lived to be a ripe old 89.
Well, after the Penguin, he's just the cranky old man from Rocky, because most people know him from after that.
Grumpy old man.
Yeah, grumpy. God, he's so fucking good in those movies.
Great in that movie. Oh, he's wonderful. He's great in State of Grace. That scene where he goes, I'm an old man eating tomatoes from a can. Stewed tomatoes from the can. What do you want from me? I got nothing to give you.
It's you know how funny he is? Because I was... 6 when Grumpy Old Men came out. When did they come out? Like 90? The first one?
94, 97 maybe.
93, 95. Damn. Okay. So go. I was nine, and I was laughing my ass off at everything he said. That's how funny he is. Him and Walter Matthau were fucking fantastic.
And then Walter Kevin Pollak always said Walter Matthau. He goes, yeah, good script, right? The script sucks, kid. I owe my bookie $5 million. That's why he did the job. Because I guess Walter Matthau was a notorious gambler.
I'm surprised he's like the Charles Barkley of old actors.
Pretty much.
I'm surprised he was never in Twilight Zone.
Yeah, well, he was a movie star.
Him and Jack Lemmon weren't.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't going to stoop to
this. Is nowadays they might, but back then, no.
Well, now it's a whole different world.
That's a good point. Yeah, he was already a movie star by now.
Movies, TVs are above movies now.
He's in like Flint.
Nobody likes movies anymore.
No. Let's get out of here, right? I mean,
yes, we got one more TZ to go through.
Fantastic episode. Let's get to the outro. 49:48. Here we go. Here's an outro for you.
Explain this. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll tell you. Maybe tomorrow. Right now, let's get out of here.
Casablanca, here's looking at you, kid.
Fuck.
Exit the infernal machine. And with it, his satanic majesty, Lucifer, Prince of Darkness, otherwise known as Mr. Smith. He's gone, but not for good. That wouldn't be like him. He's gone for bad. And he might be back. With another
those backs never recover.
To the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Until next time, and in the meantime, I'm Phoenix West.
Tick, tick, cut.
So long, citizens. You're a thick one.
Mr. Grinch.
Mr. Grinch.